Now, when I worked at Sam's Club, there's various reasons why that was one of my favorite jobs. First of all, at the time, my dad worked there as a pharmacist, and so going to work every day, I got to see him on most days while I was there. But also, it was just a fun job. You see, I got to be one of the demo people. You know, normally it's like little old sample ladies, but no, with me, I was the only guy that worked in that department, as well as I was the only one under the age of 50. So, but I loved it, partially because also those, you know, older than me ladies loved having this young guy working alongside them. But also, I enjoy doing sales. And so the one thing I remember the most, the one demo, well, there were two I really remember, but one of them was, it was right before Father's Day. It was the Saturday before Father's Day, and I had the privilege of demoing Cheesecake Factory cheesecakes that we sold. And our freezer was filled with cheesecakes. But that was the one day I got sent home early from demoing because I completely sold our store out of cheesecakes because it was such an easy sell. Tomorrow is Father's Day. Dad wants cheesecake. You don't have to bake anything. Such an easy sell. I thoroughly enjoyed that job. On the other hand, I remember another job I had in high school. It was just a one-time thing, but there was a guy in our church who cleaned one of the houses for one of the other ladies in our church. And he was going to be out of town or something. I don't remember the details, but he asked if I would fill in for him for a week, if I would go to this lady's house and clean, and I'd get paid for it. And I said, all right. Well, little did I know what that actually entailed. Because she really wanted the house cleaned top to bottom, literally. Every square inch of the house dusted. Every piece of furniture moved to be vacuumed under. I had to scrub her garage door, even. And at the end of the day, and as I was getting ready to leave, she was going to pay me. She handed me a $5 bill. I remember leaving the house so upset. I cried half the way home. I was discouraged. I absolutely hated that job. You know, maybe you have a job that you thoroughly enjoy, that you love going to, that you wake up in the morning and you're like, I get to go to work today, and you love it. Or on the other hand, maybe you have a boss that is a complete and total nightmare. You do not look forward to having to see them each day, and getting out of bed just weighs you down. Maybe you're not getting the hours that you think you need at work or that you need to just get by. Or maybe your employer isn't giving you the benefits that you need. Maybe you can't stand working with your coworkers. Maybe they're Debbie Downers all the time, or they're constant gossips, or maybe they just have like that personality that to you is just like taking nails against the chalkboard, and you can't stand your coworkers. Maybe you don't have a job, but you're a stay-at-home mom or dad, which is definitely a job. And your family is about ready to drive you nuts because you can't understand why they can't put the glass in the dishwasher rather than just leaving it out on the counter, or they can't put their clothes in the hamper rather than just leaving them on the floor. And you're about to go nuts from your family. Maybe you're your own boss. But you know what? The stress and pressure of running your own business to make sure that you succeed is starting to just become overwhelming. Or maybe you don't have a job yet. Maybe you're still a kid. Maybe you're a student and your job is to go to school and re- months to go to school. Or your job is to be at home and to do what your parents ask you to do. And really right now, you can't stand your parents. You know, we all come from various work environments. But one of the things that I love about God's word is that it can give us some great advice no matter what our situation is. Even within the same passage of Scripture, we can find advice that applies to all of us across the board. I want to share with you out of the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. In chapter 6, if you want to turn there, that's great. Ephesians chapter 6, but it'll also be up here on the screen. And Paul writes this. Starts off saying, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. And there is no favoritism with him." You see how the Apostle Paul here addresses several groups of people. He starts off with children, and then fathers, and then slaves and their masters. And it's because what he has to say here applies across the board, no matter what situation you're in. This is what he wants to remind every single one of them: that God is the boss. That God really is the boss. You see, first he addresses the children here and their obedience. Now, tell me, what parent here has never had to deal with a disobedient child? Or even more so, which one of us here who are children, you know, all of us, have been those disobedient children at one point or another? I mean, my parents are actually here this morning, so I'm sure they could tell you plenty of times that I was disobedient as a kid. One of the times that sticks out in my mind the most was I was at a church event. I was in high school. I was driving by this time, and I don't remember what the youth event was that I was at, but it was during that event, one of the girls that had been attending our youth group decided to give her life to Christ and was baptized. It was a great time. We were celebrating and rejoicing, and so much so that a group of us decided to go to Steak and Shake afterwards to celebrate. Sounds like a great thing, right? Well, here's the deal. Remember, this was the time before every child had a cell phone. And it might have been a little bit late that we were at Steak and Shake, like midnight, 1 in the morning, something along those lines. And I might have never called and let my parents know what I was doing or where I was going to be or why. And it's not like they could exactly get a hold of me because they had no idea where I was. And I remember still to this day coming home that night. And the door we always entered into the house goes straight into the kitchen. And the lights were out, except for the one above the stove that we always just kept on. And as I walked in the door, there was my mom, arms crossed. It's one of the few times I remember actually really getting in trouble when I was in high school. I was grounded for quite some time, and it was hard to ground me because everything I did was like church related. And so it's a little hard, like, no, you cannot go learn about Jesus. But I was vice president of our FCA. I know me, athlete, no. But I wasn't allowed to go to FCA. There was certain things I just couldn't do. I was a disobedient child. We've all been there. And did you catch here what Paul instructs the children, though? He said, obey your parents. But he says, in the Lord. He's reminding them that obedience to your mom and to your dad is also obedience to the Lord. Because he is the boss. He is the one in charge. But this doesn't just apply to kids. He moves on from children, and it applies to fathers here. And some translations, and it seems like his meaning here, bringing it into a modern context, is not just fathers, but to parents in general. That it's a two-way street, this idea that God is the boss. What does Paul tell fathers here? Do not exasperate your children. Now, apparently in his mind, adding a third to the mix was way too harsh on the family. I mean, two is enough, right? You already have us. You can't love anymore. He might have been exaggerating his exasperation there. But Paul is reminding us parents, do not exasperate your children. Do not be too harsh on them. Now, he's not saying don't avoid discipline, but don't put undue hardship on our kids, especially to the point that it pushes them away from everything that God intends for them. And this can mean various things to various people in their context. Maybe it is specifically your discipline is way too harsh. That, you know what, maybe they forgot to do a chore and then you ground them for 4 weeks or 4 months. Or maybe they forgot a chore and you physically punished them a little harsher than you should have. Or maybe it's not even having to do with discipline. Maybe it's the expectations you have for your kid. That you expect them to be involved, to learn a musical instrument, to play a sport, to be at church, to work a job, to do umpteen million things, as well as they better get straight A's in school, and you better be applying for all of those scholarships, because you know I can't pay for college. And you have put so much pressure on them. An undue hardship. And it's not saying that any of those things in and of themselves are bad, but sometimes we can pile way too much on them that eventually they just shut down. Or they begin to fail. They can't succeed anymore because we've placed so much on them. Parents, we need to remember here, he says, instead of exasperating them, what you need to focus on is this: to bring them up in the training and instruction of who? The Lord. Once again, it's to remember that while the father or the parents are the head of the family, who is the head over them? The Lord. Don't exasperate your children, but focus on training and raising them up in the instruction of the Lord. Now, these two groups, that's all well and good. That becomes very easy for us in some sense to say, to get on board with, to say, all right, kids, obey your parents. Parents, don't be a little too harsh on your kids. But then the next group he brings up can sometimes be the most difficult one for us to deal with. He says, slaves. Now, I want to take a little sidetrack here for just a second. And in all fairness, in America today, slavery is not the issue that it once was in the Roman Empire when Paul wrote this. And I want to say this, don't get me wrong. Slavery still is alive and well today, but I do believe there are a couple of differences between modern-day slavery and what you experience in the Roman Empire. First is this. In the Roman Empire and in their culture, slavery was commonplace, and it was an accepted thing in their culture. That is not true in our culture today. It might be more commonplace than we realize or see, but it is definitely not an accepted part of our culture. The second thing I want to point out is that while abuse was rampant in Roman slavery, there's no doubt about that, that slaves were harshly treated at times, they were abused at times, including sexual abuse. Its main purpose, the reason why it existed, revolved around manual labor. Whereas in modern context today, the vast majority of slavery does not have to do with actual manual labor, but actually has more to do with forced prostitution. And so there are some differences here between modern day slavery and what's really happening and what Paul is talking about. And so when he says, slaves, obey your masters, I do think there's a point that he's saying, but remember, put the Lord first, when talking about things like the sex trade that happens in modern-day slavery. You see, I believe the slaves that Paul is writing to here are actually not so different from the slaves that we think of in American history. Now, they do all come from a wide background. Some slaves were treated well by their masters. Others were harshly abused. Some slaves were working towards freedom, and eventually one day they would be able to be completely independent and on their own, while others would never see a day of freedom in their life. And this is what Paul tells all of them. From the ones treated well working towards freedom, the ones who would be in slavery forever and who were being beaten and abused by their masters. It says, obey your earthly masters with respect, in fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. You know, we often say that respect is something that is earned, that it's not just given. And here Paul is telling slaves to obey and respect their masters, even though in many cases it would be a forced respect, not something that was earned in any way, shape, or form. And due to how difficult this concept must have been for the Christian slaves, Paul spends the longest part of this portion of Scripture encouraging them to work hard and to do what was right. And his reminder to them was this, that to not just be working for their earthly master, but rather as a slave of who? Christ. Again, that their ultimate boss that they were working for was not their earthly master, but their Father in heaven. Lastly, he addresses the masters, telling them, treat their slaves with respect. Telling the Christian masters, do not abuse them. Do not be too harsh on them. In many ways, giving them the same instructions as he gave to the fathers. And why? Because God is the master of both the slave and the master. and that while their culture might value one of them over the other, God does not. That God sees them equally. Now, even today, each one of us fall into at least one of these groups. Most of us fall into multiple that Paul talks about. We're all children. Many of us are parents. And while we might not be slaves, most of us do have a boss or a manager, someone who is over us. And many of us also are a boss, who have people who report to us, who work under us, who we delegate responsibilities to. And the thing we need to remember is that no matter what your position is, God is your boss. So to those of you there who love your job and you are just killing it, keep up the good work. But remember, you're not doing this to receive a hefty paycheck or to receive favor from your company or from your boss, but that you're doing it as the will of God. And to those of you who can't stand your boss or some of your coworkers and you find it difficult to work under them, I want to encourage you, keep on pushing through and to serve wholeheartedly as if you are serving the Lord. Those of you who feel like you aren't being treated fairly at work, who feel like the pay and the benefits or the hours aren't enough, remember what Paul told the slaves: to work with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. And then be thankful that you have the luxury to look for another employer who might be able to help you make your ends meet. To the mom or dad whose family is about to just drive them insane, take some time to delve into what God has to say about parenting. And remember not to treat your children too harshly, but to raise them in instruction of the Lord. And as another little shameless plug here, you know, on Sunday nights, we've been highlighting some of our studies. Our Hearts Abandoned group that meets on Sunday nights, normally we advertise that as our young adult Bible study, but we really want to open it up as we start off the year to all parents. Because that's what we're starting with at the beginning this year on Sunday nights at the end of September. We're not starting till the last Sunday in September. But we're doing a series about raising your kids in the Lord, giving them what's called a sticky faith, a faith that's going to stick with them the rest of their life. Remember what God has to say. And to the kids out there who may feel like their parents just don't understand or that their parents are being unfair, remember this, that you are called to obey your parents in the Lord. That no matter what your situation is, you need to remember this one simple thing, that God is your boss. Now, here's the thing, though. The best bosses to work for are the ones who care about their employees. Again, when I worked at Sam's Club, another thing that made that job so great was the store manager. I was just talking this week about this. Store manager that worked at that Sam's Club. It's one of the best bosses I think I've worked for, at least in my mind. Because while he did his job in the office and ran the store well, one of the other things that he did is he frequently, you saw him out on the floor. You'd see him talking with employees. And not only that, when he saw that there was a task that they needed help with, he was out there alongside them, doing it with them. He was a boss who cared about his employees. When you realize that God is your boss, think about how much he cares for you. How much he loves you with all of his heart. So much so that he gave up his only son to die for you. That is how much he loves you and cares for you. And I wouldn't want to work for anyone else than the man who would give up his son for me. To take my place so that our relationship could be restored. Now imagine for a moment what would happen if every single one of this room had an attitude adjustment when we went to work this next week. And that we kept in mind who we are really working for. That conflict with your manager might seem a little less stressful because you know who you ultimately answer to. Or that again, while you might not be getting those hours or those benefits that you want or deserve, you know though that your greatest benefits are yet to come and are not of this world. And you can handle all the drama with your coworkers a little bit better because you know that your real boss has maybe put you there to be an example to them. And mom and dad, while your kids and your family are driving you insane, dad, can I have 20 bucks? Mom, can you get me a snack? Honey, will you bring me the remote? You can be reminded that it's all worth it to show your family the love and the service of the master and to be a servant. And maybe, kids, your relationship with mom and dad will start to get so much better because you know what? When you start obeying them, they're not going to be nagging you or yelling at you near as much because you're actually doing what you were told. Imagine what would happen if we really started to realize that the ultimate person we answer to is the one who loves us more than anyone could ever ask or imagine to. You see, as our attitude shifts, from an all-loving, onto our all-loving boss, from our broken earthly bosses, there starts to be hope and change, no matter what our circumstance currently is in life. This will not only affect us, but it will affect those around us. They'll start to see our attitude change. They'll start to see the difference, and they'll take notice. One of the other jobs I had in college was I worked concessions at a movie theater. $5.15 an hour, minimum wage at the time. It was not fun all the time, getting hot oil on you, getting icy spilled all down your shirt, working with customers who complain because why in the world would I pay $10 for a bucket of popcorn and a soda? And it's like, have you not been to the movies in the last 20 years? Like, it's expensive, sorry. Rude customers all the time. But you know what, when I went to work, I was usually doing one of two things. I was either singing a song or humming a song of some sort. And eventually, some of my coworkers said, how in the world can you be so happy here? And it's simple. Because my joy does not come from my job. My joy comes from the Lord. My joy comes from my ultimate boss who is over me. And when we do the same thing, when we realize who our boss is and who we are serving, no matter what our circumstances, people will start to take notice. And imagine what could happen in your home, in your workplace, in your school. If we all were to make that attitude adjustment. So I want you to know today, when you're at a loss, when you're at discouraged, when you're down, or whether you're up on a mountaintop at work, no matter your position, remember that God is your boss. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that you are Lord and Master and Savior, that you are the one that is in charge and not me. And I'm so thankful that I serve you. I pray that you can help us to keep that in mind at all times, no matter what our circumstance. God, may we have an attitude shift focused on the one who loves us more than all others. May we truly see you as our, as boss, as Lord of all. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.